If I'm trying to think like a scientist when designing a pedal, you want to have as many controls as possible. One of those controls is the sound of the guitar that you're using. I got into the NYXLs. They last longer, they work better, and they stay in tune for longer. Just a lot of things that make my life easier.
Gentlemen, what's the quickest way to improve your tone?
Oh, like and subscribe on YouTube.
Obviously, yeah, we'll keep you up to date on all that great gear that's out there. Yeah.
Back to the Rig Rundown. Oh, hey everyone, this is Chris Keys. I'm in a cave in the caverns in the middle of Tennessee. I'm here by Sammy. Sammy of Acid Bath. Yes, that's all right, folks. If you're not a herd, if you've been under a rock in a cave, Acid Bath is back. Sammy,
yeah.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing fantastic. I mean, how can I be doing bad? We're in a freaking cave
right? In
Tennessee.
Right? Man, it's a treat to be here, and I can't wait to talk to you about your rig, but what's been your experience kind of getting the band back together and then, you know, playing the shows that you played so far last year and this year?
I mean, it's been fantastic, you know. It's just, it's so awesome that just to be around the guys again and just everybody's having such a good time and the show's going fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing. It's like, I have to pinch myself every now and then and be like, this is really happening.
Yeah.
This is crazy. But yeah, it's good stuff, you know?
Well, right on, man. And let's just get right into it. I know you guys have a lot of bands playing the show, so we don't want to waste time, but tell me about your gig here, but about the SIG.
This isn't my signature.
Oh, okay.
This is a new model. I think it was for this year, 2026. Yeah, that's what,
yeah,
2026.
Where we're at. Yeah.
It's an ESP, what is this?
Looks like it's an EX.
Yes, it's an EX, but it's a ESP original series.
Uh-uh.
But this is like the prototype, the only one. This is the one that was actually at NAMM.
Wow.
And I saw it and I was like,
yeah, how'd you get that?
I was like, come on, man.
Come with it.
I was like, it's gotta come with me. You don't let it get away. But yeah, I got it. I was very, very lucky to get this guitar.
I bet you it was the cake you brought him.
That might have had a little bit
to
do with it.
The king cake.
The king cake. But yeah, this is a new model they're coming out with for this year. That's, like I said, this is the only one. It's got the black top with the Andromeda color,
yeah,
shifting bevels. Yeah, it's just, this guitar is like amazing.
I guess it kind of fooled me because it kind of had the silhouette of your signature's kind of,
yeah,
got like
my signature is a little bit pointier and bigger. But the thing about my signature, I only have one humbucker. And with the Acid Bath stuff, I have to use a neck pickup for all the clean stuff.
Okay, so that's how you get it.
So I, instead of just waiting around for another signature with an extra pickup in it, I was just like, just give me that one.
You're a team player, yeah. Just take this one instead.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
Now, what pickups are in it?
These are actually some new pickups that Lawler came out with called the Monoliths.
I heard about those.
They are amazing.
Like, it's kind of a new chapter for Lawler because they're normally, you know, more vintage, yeah, lower output stuff, and these ones scream.
Yeah, they did another one called the DB.
Okay.
But the DB, you can't get a clean sound out of that pickup. And but these new ones, the Monoliths, you could do a clean with them and everything. And it's like, I don't know what kind of wizardry they have going on at Lawler, but these are some of the best pickups I've ever heard in my life.
Wow.
And I've been through
you've been through a batch or two.
I've been through a couple. I have a tackle box in my garage, a big tackle box just filled with pickups of trying to find the perfect one.
You even like, because you used to Duncan's even, right?
Yeah.
Blackouts. So you've gone active, passive,
yeah,
back to passive.
Yeah. I mean, I still love the Duncan stuff. I mean, for the Gold Horse stuff, the Duncan shit works great.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But for Acid Bath, these things just are perfect for me.
So I ask that, you bring it up, it's like with the Goat Horror and Acid Bath, you know, overlapping in terms of existing, is like, you have to think differently about your rig, or how do you approach that? What are the differences?
The differences, well, it's really simple. Goat Horror has to sound like Celtic Frost, and Acid Bath has to sound like Black Sabbath.
Dumbing it down for a guy like me, perfect.
Basically what the guitar tone falls down to.
Yeah, perfect. Man, what should we know about strings?
I'm using, I think these are SITs, and it is a 60 to a 13.
Man.
We tune down to C.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's like, I find that if I like, when we tune down like that, You have the tendency to do the smiley face on the fretboard with a lighter string. So I find the heavier gauge strings helps me alleviate that problem to where I'm not playing so hard and bending the shit out of tune, you know?
Now going back to the differences Celtic Frost and Sabbath now, is there changes in the rig too then? You know, obviously this is backline, but like what else are we changing, like amp-wise or pedals?
Well, I mean, Acid Bath is basically Marshall.
Okay.
And then the Goat Whore I have, where I'm working with a guy, we'll get to his pedals in a second, out of Kansas City, called Michael W. Klein.
Yeah.
And his,
he's a wizard too.
Yeah, he just made my signature amp. And that thing is, it's not for the timid. Let's put it that way. Let's just put it this way. If you hate your bass player, get one of those amps and fire your bass player, because you won't need it with so much low end on
that
amp.
So it's basically like a recreation of the Randall RG100, yeah?
I sent him my original Randalls.
Oh, for real? I was being a shithead. No,
I sent him my original Randall VMAXs, and I was like, I love these things, but they're just not right. You know, because I use those amps forever, and I didn't want to stray so much away from that sound. I just wanted to improve upon it, you know what I'm saying? So I sent him my original Randalls. I was like, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take the good stuff that I like about the Randall and throw in the good stuff from like a Marshall JCM 800.
Yeah.
Because the thing about the Randalls is like they don't have that mid-range punch that like an 800 has. Mm. And that was the only thing I didn't like about them. So we kind of married both amps together.
I'm sorry to cut you. What did you like about the Randall worked?
They just have this growl to them that you can't really get out of any other amp. Mm. You know, it's very... They're very unique sounding amps, you know?
Yeah, Perry calls them the hard to handle Randall.
I mean, then you know, they're like a woman, man. You gotta touch them the right way and they'll act right.
Love advice from Sammy. We got the 2000s, and is there a specific choice, you know, that, because you obviously alluded that kind of Acid Bath is more Marshall, but why 2000s, just easier to get?
It's just, they're easier to get, they sound good, you know, and, the thing that I really hate about a lot of modern amps is like they have three channels. I don't need three channels. I need a clean channel and a distorted channel. Yeah. That's it. And instead of having to fool around with like a foot switch that this big that you just have to switch between clean and dirty, with the Marshalls, you just hit one switch and it goes back and forth.
Mm.
Rather than like, okay, I got to step over this to go to the mid channel or whatever.
Yeah.
You know? It's all about simplicity, man.
Now, what about when it comes to working with Mike? Like, what are you thinking EQ-wise or worse he's at versus that? Is that ever a part of the discussion?
We just kind of do our own thing, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, Mike has a great set of ears, so he knows how to dial in an amp. So
yeah.
We never really sat down and said, well, I'm going to go for this kind of sound, and you go for that kind of sound. We just kind of did our own thing, and it works, you know?
Yeah, it's like making a sandwich. It works. You need both pieces of bread.
Yeah,
so it's like,
exactly.
Now, with Goat Whore, you know, for the majority of it being a single guitar band, I know early, you know, the late 90s, early 2000s, there's two guys. You know, another guy alongside yourself, but for the most part, it's one guitar. What's that like being in a band with two guitarists versus you're kind of the guy?
It was out of necessity because, you know, there's a reason why there was a bunch of different second guitarists in Goat Whore, because I have a tendency to make people make bad choices when you play second guitar with me, which I don't know how Mike Sanchez has survived this long. But, it's not that I'm a hard person to work with. It's just with Goat Whore, there was just the second guitarist I was working with, just bad shit just happened. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we're just like, you know what? Just play guitar by yourself and fuck all these dudes, you know?
Yeah.
But it was more out of necessity than anything.
Gotcha. And I'm sure with that, it's just like everything's more, because when you're single guitar, you just need to fill more room, more air.
And just, you know, an excuse to have a bigger rig, basically.
Well, speaking of that, let's get into the pedals now. So talk to me. I know you got some Michael Kleins down here.
Yeah, I have what starts with the Shure Wireless. Then we go into a splitter, the Fortin Roach.
Okay.
And I come out of that, and we'll take it going from the front end of the amp. So I go from that into the wah, then into the compressor, then into the Michael Kleins Spire Overdrive, then into the Michael Kleins Torture Rack, which is like a dual-voiced chorus, kind of.
It's a hell of a name for a pedal.
It's pretty awesome. And then I go into the Strymon Cloudburst.
Okay.
And then when it splits off into that, I go into the back of the amp, into the noise gate, the Zool Fortin.
Okay.
into the back of the amp, and then I go into the Michael Klein stall, which is like a reverb. So that all goes into the FX loop, and everything goes into the front of the amp.
Okay. So yeah, the Spire's hitting the front of it, pushing it a little bit more. Yeah.
And what's cool about this is the Spire, it's he built in an output jack right here to where you have your drive on, and you kind of, and when you want to switch to clean, it turns off the drive, and it goes to the clean.
That's nice.
So that, I thought that was a pretty nice touch.
Yeah. Right?
Instead of like turning off the drive and hitting the clean
button. Double tap.
Yeah. So.
Nice. Well.
Anything that makes everything easier.
Yeah. Trying to make it as bulletproof as possible.
Yeah.
Now, what wah is that?
That is a Morley high gain wah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can we hear it?
Yeah. It's. What I like about it is like you don't have to click it. You just have to step on it and it turns on.
All gas, no brakes.
Exactly, man. Try to alleviate as much tap dancing as possible.
Now, how often is the compressor on all the time or just kind
of
clean?
No, that's just for like the clean stuff.
Okay.
And sometimes like if I need more feedback, I'll just turn that on with the distorted signal and just give it more noisy, dirty feedback stuff.
I wonder how that'll operate in a cave, you know, with full flight.
We're going to find out, I guess.
Can I hear the torture rack?
Yes. So basically, I kind of use it only for like the clean stuff, to where it's like. That's more like that kind of sound rather than like a normal chorus.
That's like the beginning of like Venus Blue then?
No, that's for the beginning of.
Scream of the Butterfly? No.
I use it on Scream of the Butterfly. And, oh my goodness, what is the name of that song? It's escaping me.
Grayflower?
Yes. Yeah, that's that total fucking. So it's totally that sound, you know.
And this in the last one there, can we hear the how you're using the cloudburst and the yeah.
To make it more cavernous.
Yeah. I love that even though you're using modulation and maybe even reverb, it's still dark and haunting, like the way it's set up and how it hits the amp and it interacts with everything.
I mean, that was the whole thing with the stall was I wanted like the creepiest sounding reverb I could possibly get.
Yeah.
So what he did was it's like a modulation that hits the actually repeats. So it's not just like a reverb, it's kind of like a chorus weird creepy chorus sounding thing that's on top of it.
Yeah. Now, I mean, in conjunction with the amp, the pickups are kind of like the motor of the rig here. What, and you alluded to like going through so many different pickups, what are you trying to achieve with the pickup sound? What do you want out of the pickup?
I want it to sound like Tom G. Warrior from Celtic Frost.
Yeah.
Or Tony Iommi from Black Sabbath.
Yeah.
But, you know, that is hard to achieve when you don't have their hands.
Yeah.
So we got to find cheat codes, you know?
Definitely. Have you messed around with P90s?
Not yet, but I have a...
Because that leans a little bit more Iommi then.
Yeah. But the thing about the P90s is too much of like the chirp on the attack to when you're kind of... It's more like of a chirpy kind of thing, and I hate the chirp.
Yeah. Get out of here.
Yeah, exactly. This ain't birds, man.
Yeah. Sammy, I appreciate it. We got to get to talk to the rest of the guys, but I know you got a lot that's going on and the day's full, so we'll get out of here. But I appreciate your time.
I appreciate you guys and hanging out with me, man.
I really am thankful, and I'm sure there's a lot of tens of dozens of other people out there that are thankful that Acid Bath is back. Thank you, man.
Awesome, man.
Appreciate it. we are definitely joined by Mike with a loud and proud kind of introduction there. Mike, how you doing?
Good. Great.
Thank you for joining us, man. This is a treat for all us fans out there to see what the rig has morphed into. I know you guys have been playing shows last year, and now you're continuing on in this year.
Yes.
So tell me about this beautiful wood right. Let's start with that. I know that you've got a good friendship with Steve.
Yeah. Steve and wood right. I think he didn't know what to do with the guitar because of certain, headstock problems.
Yeah.
So he was like, I don't know, he wanted to give it to me. So I was like, yeah, definitely, I'll take it. I'm not going to argue with that fact. So
yeah.
After that, we became, good friends. And I'm glad to be with the Woodwright family.
And it sounds like that friendship is blossoming into something special for us fans, right? Signature model coming out?
Yes, I do. Yes.
And then the headstock will be kind of flipped, though, right?
It'll be 2 and 4, yes. It won't be like this one, but yeah.
Because there's another headstock that has something similar.
Exactly.
Now, is it what the signature model be any different than this in terms of, or is it kind of just mimicking
this? It's going to be a bigger pickguard.
Okay.
It's going to be more of a sunburst or tobacco burst.
Okay.
More of like the 70s models B.
Mm-hmm.
More of the 70s models Bs. It's like classy, classic, but modern.
Mm-hmm.
So it has a big, it's pretty much like this one, but it just has a bigger pickguard and it's a different color.
Pickups the same? Is there anything you have tweaked that you'd like, let's put these in there, or any changes you want?
We may put the so-called acid bath pickups in them.
Okay.
I'm not sure yet.
Yeah, you've worked on some.
Those may be a custom thing that we do for people if they want that.
Okay.
If they want that kind of high gain pickup.
Yeah, what's going on with that one? What was kind of what you wanted with that pickup, the acid?
Well, it's not an active pickup. And
just really high output.
Yeah, it's passive. Like 14.2.
Yeah.
So it's just really high without having a battery in it.
Yeah.
We hate batteries in guitars because, they go out all the time.
Yeah.
And they suck. And so we just wanted a high output gain, for our lead pickup.
Okay.
We got Jeff Richard to do that for us, and he did a wonderful job, And that's what you hear in this one.
Okay, so that's what we're getting out of this?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Right on. So. And I see from peeking down at the pedal board, you guys kind of have two tunings you go with? C and A sharp, or A?
Yeah, we go with, we play in C standard.
Okay.
Which is like C, F, A, what, a sharp, D?
D sharp, G, C.
Right, exactly. So, but then...
Everything else stays the same, and then the C drops to an A sharp?
Yes, for Dr. Seuss. It's just like a drop tuning. I guess how everyone else plays today, right? Just with one finger, what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know if it makes any sense, but that's kind of like what it seems like.
Gotcha.
So it's just, For a couple songs in Acid Bath, we just dropped that one song down, that one string down, which I think was Cassie and Dr. Seuss only. But yeah,
okay.
we did that for those two.
I know that the amps are backline, the JCM 2000s. When you're doing backline gigs like this, it's kind of, your choices are limited, but what made you guys go with the 2000s?
Well, I had bought one.
So you're familiar.
Yeah, and the one I bought was really like a beast. And I figured out that some 2000s are great.
Yeah.
And some of them are not so great,
Yeah.
So you have to find the ones that are great.
Yeah.
And pick and keep those. And if you don't, the ones are not so great. So you just, we get enough of them to where hopefully we get a 50-50 chance out of getting one of them that's going to be halfway decent,
Yeah.
And sometimes they smoking, but sometimes they're just not where you want them to be.
Yeah, some pigs.
So tonight they don't sound too bad.
Yeah.
It's just more of an amp that you can find readily available.
Yeah.
One for me to use, especially because I need two channels. And I'm not one to get my gains out of a...
Pedals
or anything. I like to come straight out of the amp, straight out of the tube.
And that's been kind of your MO
even back in the 90s, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just get it from the amp.
Yeah. Yeah. I like to mess with my sounds from the tubes that I use, you know, and just it's stuff like that.
Yeah.
Just,
I mean, between the hot pickup and the crank 2000, yeah, you're getting enough gain.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And I can go like, I think I'm only on like freaking 7 on my gain. I think, yeah, 7.
Well, wherever it's at, it's loud enough that I got plugs in. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds good, though.
Yeah, so.
So, Tech over here saying gain 1, not even gain 2.
Yeah, so it has a lot of...
There's a lot more to go.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a... This is a really nice one, though. This one here. This one sounds great.
And so. Back in the day, can you recall, like, for the fans out there that have been following since the 90s, what you used in comparison to the 2000 for either record or touring?
For a long time, I used the PB Butcher.
Okay.
It was the 80s model. The one that kind of came out on the 90-degree angle.
Yeah.
With all the knobs on it. It was the 120-watt. I used that with 2 PB stacks. That had some pretty good speakers in them. And that with a Metazone pedal and a wah pedal.
Yeah, that's and, right, yeah.
And that was it, you know. That's basically how I did both records.
Now, this is shot in the dark, but do you remember how you had that? What were you trying to do with the Metazone? What was the purpose of the Metazone into those Butchers? Was it to EQ the amp or to push them even further?
To push it harder.
Yeah. Kind of like what we'll get into the pedals now is mm-hmm. you have a boost down here doing that.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
The Lonely Ghost from Michael Klein.
Yes.
Same idea. You just want more amp.
I just want more push.
Got it.
Yeah.
Well.
I like the speakers to move. You know, I like the speakers to push air.
Yeah.
The more the air I push, the more of a sound that I get that I like, you know. And I'm still trying. I don't know if I'll ever find the correct tone I'm looking for. But there's something I'm looking for.
What are you looking for?
I don't know yet.
Once you find it, you'll get it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think I'm getting close. You know, maybe it does need little, like not so much like distortion, but enhancers of distortion. You know, little distortion enhancers.
Yeah.
You know, little things like that. Which I'm trying all kinds of stuff. Right now, I got my sound pretty much where I like it. I'm comfortable with it, but I think it could always get a little better.
Yeah.
And speaking from musicians, I think we all feel like that sometimes. You
yeah.
know? Like right when we get an amp, oh, this is killer. You know, a year later, well, you know, this is better.
Yeah.
You know? It's never really, you know.
I always there, think of the quest as like it's either trying to find the new sound or it's just trying to refine your sound.
Right.
Like something that. If it wasn't the Metazone, something replaces right. the Metazone to do the Metazone, but do the Metazone better, or right. whatever that thing is. I think those are the two-prong approach.
But I got this JMC 800, I think it's 84. I think it's a JMC.
That's a good period.
And I'm going to get that to Michael Klein, and he's gonna revamp everything for me and get everything like I like it. And I think that's the one I'm going to be playing.
Nice.
You know, so yeah, I just got that, so that should be nice.
Yeah. Well, like I said, simple pedal board here, but can you walk us through kind of the key sounds that you use?
Yeah, this is Phaser.
Okay.
Right?
From Death by Audio, the Moonbeam, the new one.
Right, exactly. It's really, has that really good, it's just a really good, you know, just that really. Gives you lows,
yeah,
but it also
gives that clean tone up.
Right, right.
Now for the acoustic stuff, and obviously you don't have an acoustic out with you, so how are you approximating some of those sounds?
With that.
Okay.
With that right there. And of course, all my cleans sort of kind of sound like that. I just kind of feel like it sounds more psychedelic. You know, more of what we truly are.
Yeah.
You know, give it a different aspect of what the records are. You know, if you want to hear the record, then go buy the record.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you want to hear something different and live, but it sounds a lot like the record, come check us out. I think it's better.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's what I think, anyhow.
Yeah, I appreciate that, like, kind of philosophy on it.
Yeah, because we don't want to, like.
Not robots.
Yeah, no.
Not trying to recreate yourself.
No, yeah. No. It's too old for that, you know?
Yeah.
So we put a lot of thought into that and kind of, you know, tried to make some things a little different, more exciting, more of something than you know, it could have been. You know?
Yeah.
And, but yeah, this, the...
What's the synthesizer getting used for?
Yeah. That's the organ you hear in Grey Flower.
Oh,
you
can
know?
We hear that quick?
Yeah, sure. It's basically, it's just like a... That's what that does.
It tracks pretty well, but you were talking before we started rolling, you used the old version on the record, right? Duct taped it to your guitar?
Yeah, that was the Roland G something. It was a Roland synthesizer.
I had
this pickup on it. So there's a separate pickup.
Yeah.
And I had to, yeah, like duct tape it all up. Like, you know, all the parts you hear that are keyboard parts, you know, That's the Roland synthesizer.
That's a trip.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So, and then we got our friend to kind of try to imitate that later on, so I wouldn't have to play that on stage, but in a studio, yeah, that's all done by the synthesizer.
Right on.
You know, it's a lot of things, you know.
And then the Lonely Ghost here, we talked about that briefly before, and that's kind of like has a lot going on for it, right?
Oh, yeah. This is the Michael Klein pedal. This is a really nice pedal.
Boost?
It's got a boost. It's got a reverb. It's got delay. It's got basically everything you want. And this is the only thing that's not into the chain of this. Like this here, if I hit one, it's just basically gain. If I hit two, it's quiet with the phaser. If I hit three, everything's wide open. Okay, if I hit four, it's just basically distortion with the phaser. If I hit five, it's just phaser. Okay, so if I hit this, it boosts whatever I have on up.
Okay.
So that's basically how that works.
Can we hear patch four? So the distortion, phaser, and the Lonely Ghost?
Sure. So that's pretty.
It's like an angry god.
Yeah.
I love it, man. And then you got the wall over here that right. you alluded to having back in the day.
Exactly. I can't be without it. You know, it's
your emotional support wall.
Yeah, it's basically my left foot. You know, I walk like a duck for it. You know. So.
Well, Mike, I really appreciate it, and I just want to ask one question. Is like, what's been the experience playing all these shows with your friends? You know,
it's been amazing, man.
Yeah,
every bit of it has been amazing. Yeah,
from the whole journey, I know that you guys started kind of just jamming, hanging out again, and now selling out tons of shows, tons of venues. It's been probably a wild ride for you the last couple of years.
Yeah, it has been.
Yeah.
I hope it never stops.
Yeah, so
it's a wonderful thing, you know, meeting all these people and. Just having good people on your side, you know, it just feels nice. It feels like a family again, you know.
Right on, man. I appreciate it. And
hey, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much. We're going to talk to Shane.
Hey, everybody. I'm John Bollinger with Premier Guitar. So, as many of you know, D'Addario has been a longtime friend of PG, sponsoring Rig Rundowns. And they're a longtime friend of all the players with their Players Circle Rewards. I've been using it for years, and essentially, they will reward you for the gear you buy. Open it up. Look inside, and there's a reward number. It's free and easy to sign up for. And as soon as you sign up, you immediately get some reward points just for putting your name in. After a while, you accumulate enough where you can buy more of this fantastic Dario gear. So as a Players Circle Rewards member, you get discounts on custom products and merch, you get free shipping, and you get a discount on the gear you're buying with your points, or free gear, depending on that. And if you're charitable, you could donate your Players Reward points for musical education. So collect those points, buy the great gear, and let's get back to more rundowns.
Last but not least, we're here with Shane. Shane, how you doing?
Doing good, man.
Thank you for doing this. I know we're in a cave, but it's on kind of unfamiliar circumstances. But speaking of unfamiliar circumstances, seeing Acid Bath perform live has been an unfamiliar sight for many of us for decades.
Yep.
And you've gotten to fill the shoes of Audie, who, you know, had that tragic passing back in the 90s. So how did you get the gig, and how did you know all these guys that you got to call?
Yeah, so I joined Crowbar in 2018.
Okay.
And I played with them up until, I mean, really, we started rehearsals for this last year, very early, January, February. And at the time, Crowbar had a very light schedule for last year. But, and these guys were starting to book stuff. And Sammy, you know, we're all from New Orleans area.
Yeah.
I'm from South Mississippi, 1 hour, you know, out of the city. And Sammy called me up and he was like, hey man, like, you know, we'd like to get you in the jam room and see how it works out, you know. So I started learning the songs, you know, and then just started playing with them. And it seemed like it worked really well, you know. But yeah, Sammy called me up, and I'd never had known Dax or Mike before playing in this band. So it's been cool getting to know them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm very familiar with everybody in the New Orleans scene. You know, the I Hate God guys.
Yeah.
COC, the Down guys. Playing with Kirk and Crowbar for so long.
Yeah, man.
Know? So you rub shoulders with all these people all the time.
I know that that's among all the different subsections of our country and the world that we're in, where music is formed and communities are built like that.
Yeah.
But the NOLA crew seems very tight, and the guys are always swim in the same waters, hanging out. It's cool to see that.
Everybody plays in everybody's bands, and they all sound totally different.
Yeah.
It's like my favorite thing. Because, like, Tommy, who plays drums in Crowbar, plays drums for Soylent Green. It couldn't be a more opposite style of music. But I guess it's just...
And even Sammy, to a certain degree, doing Acid Bath and then doing Gold Horde.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... I don't know. It's, I guess, that jazz in the water down there makes us, you know, like to be... have a lot of variety.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, tell me about the rig and kind of how you formed what you have here and the choices you made to make this your Acid Bath rig.
Yeah, so when I joined Crowbar, I got with Sandberg in 2018, and a big shout out to Mike for always being great to work with.
And I love Mark at Sandberg.
Yeah, and Mark. Yeah, great guy. You know, I hit up Mike when I joined Crowbar, and they really helped me out a lot, and I just had no desire to go anywhere else as far as basses go. You know, this is a 48 with a quilt maple top. They did the what do you call it, binding. It's a wood binding on there. We've got the you know, glow in the dark
lumen lays.
This is the Mike Inez Fishman pickup. So, you know,
right here, AIC.
Yeah. what I really like about this is it's a push pull for, this is a P. And this is a PJ. And then you don't have a tone control on here. This is a bass and a treble control. So I feel like sometimes you play like a PJ bass and you want to get that scoop sound, but you can't really shape it exactly how you want to shape it. I feel like there's a lot of stuff you can do with just these controls.
Some versatility.
You know? Absolutely. And then big shout out to DR. You know, I've been on the Black Beauties since, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago. And what I really like about these is they last longer because they're coated strings. They kind of damper the high end a little bit. So I like to run a lot of gain. It's more gain than you think, though, because, you know, when you run like, you know, uncoated strings, there's a lot of high end frequencies that get, like, they get out of control.
Yeah.
So this kind of keeps all that in a good smooth spot. You know.
And you got the dark glass behind you here.
Yes, absolutely.
Run into an 8 or an 812. Yeah, 810.
Just an 8x10. Yeah, these heads, this head is one of the original ones I got when I joined Crowbar in 2018. It's never gone down on any gig ever. You know, it's just bulletproof. So
gotta have it.
Yeah.
And then we've commented before we start rolling that you have the most pedals out of anyone in the band. So, but you're saying it's kind of tone shaping.
Yeah. So I do a lot of stuff different than the guitars do. Because we're flying in every weekend and we're using a lot of backline rental, I don't ever want to leave the tone up to what I might be getting.
Yeah.
So we're going direct to front of house.
Okay.
So anything going through the house is
the caveman
is
here.
Through here. And then this is just basically a monitor on stage to fill out a little bit of sound.
Okay.
You know? So we don't really use the cab out front. But yeah, what we're doing here is we got the wireless and it goes into the caveman. And the cool thing about the caveman is it acts like a buffer slash impedance correction for the entire pedal board. You know, the more you add pedals, the more you might have tone loss, the more, I don't know, things can get, you know, weird or whatever. So yeah, the caveman basically, you know, wireless caveman, and then we have everything wrapped into the effects loop of that.
Okay.
And then front of house out of there.
What's the Neve? How's that get incorporated?
Neve? So if we go through the signal flow, it we got the Cali 76, so bass into the Cali, and this kind of just it's on, you know, it's compressing the signal just a little bit. This is the stacked version, so you can compress the attack and the decay separately and really find like a sweet spot on it.
Mm.
And then we're doing a little bit of compression there before we split the front of house so that he doesn't have to do as much with just a dry DI out front, mm-hmm. right? And then from here, we're going to the regular chain, which is the fuzz wah pedal.
Chancellor.
Yep, into the Atom, which is, this is the main brain of the rig. We got three sounds I'll show you here in a second here.
Okay.
Into, this is Citadel Electronics. My friend Tommy is building this stuff and he is a genius. But this is a noise gate. Sometimes if I don't have that on during the show, you, like if I was touching the strings, you could hear like pss, pss, noises and stuff like that. And so that is just cleaning that up. And out of there, we're going into the chorus, UAD Astra, into the Delverb, a little bit of reverb and delay for some of the songs like Scream of the Butterfly.
I was gonna ask, they intro that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then actually, I messed up here. We actually go into this EQ after the distortion, and then that runs into these. So this is just a little more tone shape in here. We got a high pass on here, clean up the low end. And this is the micro thumpinator. This also cleans up, it gets rid of a lot of infrasonics below like 30 hertz or something like that. So, and then there into the bass rig. Bass rig, we're going from the cab sim out to the caveman. So, and then the amp out is going here because, like I said, we want a good direct signal, and I love how the cab sim sounds on this pedal.
Did you work all this out and map it all out and do it yourself?
Yeah.
Good, man.
But I have a lot of friends that I talk a lot of stuff with. But, you know, it's funny because really, you know, outside of this, the Dark Glass Advanced Distorted Aggressively Distorted Advanced Machine, yeah, outside of that, yes, outside of that, you know, that's your clean, your dirty, and then a heavy dirty. You know, you've got the effects. Everything
the colors,
else is just, like, you know, tightening the sound up a little bit, you know.
Tone sweeteners.
Yeah. But, like,
let's hear that color sound.
Like, so this is our clean. And we're in a cave, so you're hearing a little reverb. But, like, you know, this UAD chorus. And if I want to, I don't know, you probably can't hear that.
Yeah, with the difference in the cave.
the cave reverb. But yeah, that's kind of like the clean. And then I call this kind of like the rock and roll distortion, which is like songs like Dead Girl. It's got a little bit more mids to it, a little bit less gain. And I'll even go to like the P setting on that one. But if I go to Stupid. For the heavier sounds, and even some songs, I'll go like Venus Blue. Like the chorus might be there, but then when we hit the heavy riff, you know, we'll get this more scoop, more guttural sound, which this is like your Dr. Seuss Is Dead or, you know, tone, like if you want the heaviest tone possible is that one. Then we have the fuzz. Sometimes I'll kick the chorus on there. You know, that's the cool thing about playing with these guys. They're all down to get weird and psychedelic.
Yeah, man.
So, you know, Mike and Dax and Sammy are always like, have fun, you know, come up with something cool.
That's
so
cool that there's encouragement there.
It's not doing it exactly like the record. It's kind of like, what can we make it now?
Yeah.
So
it's a living, breathing thing.
Absolutely.
Well, Shane, I really appreciate your time and the rest of the band. This is cool. I'm so glad to be a part of this. And it's going to rip tonight in a cave, so I appreciate you guys being here.
Absolutely.
Next
time.
Thank you, guys.
Strings have a lot to do with your tone. The NYXLs for me have always tonally been great.
I really need that friction to feel my slides. I depend on that friction even for accuracy.